RadioArchives.com presents Big Shot, an adventure of Dan Fowler by C.K.M. Scanlon, read by Paul Curtis. In the days of J. Edgar Hoover's Untouchables, one lawman took on the super criminals even Elliot Ness couldn't touch. Dan Fowler, G-Man. The greatest FBI special agent of his generation, Fowler operated nationwide, hunting down spies, kidnappers, counterfeiters, murderers, and other dire threats to law and order beyond the jurisdiction of local authorities. Assisted by the youthful agent Larry Kendall and brave Sally Vane, Dan Fowler crushed crime with an infallible combination of scientific criminology and punishing Tommy gun lead. And now, Dan Fowler's thrilling adventure, Big Shot.
Chapter 1. The Doomed Liner.
Begging your pardon, sir. It's about those passengers.
Lawson speaking. Lawson, the thin, nervous purser of the San Marino intercoastal flagship of the Tracy Lines. Waspish in his white mess jacket. A weak man, with terror written in his watery eyes. He was biting his lower lip. He had come up behind Captain McWilliams in a dimly lighted passageway in A deck. The veteran four-striper, gruff, red-faced, white-haired, swung his heavy frame to his subordinate.
"This is the fourth time tonight you've bothered me."
His rumbling voice revealed his irritation.
"There's nothing wrong with any of the passengers on this ship. You're imagining things, man."
Lawson chokingly cleared his throat.
"But I'm sure I'm not, sir."
His voice was husky with fright.
"Shadows, sir. Wherever I go, onto the boat deck, the promenade deck, my office, eyes are watching me."
"Nonsense."
"But it isn't, sir. There are at least 10 men on this ship who look like thugs. They're everywhere."
"I'd swear, with 2.5 million in gold on board, that something's up. And you and I, we'll be the victims."
The small man's voice rose.
"I know my half of the combination to the door of the specie room. You know your half."
The captain glared.
"Shut up, you fool."
There was contempt in the rugged old man's voice now.
"You'll wake the dead with that screeching voice. It's after midnight. People are trying to sleep. The gold shipment's secret in the first place. And these aren't the days of Captain Kidd or Morgan or Lafitte. We've got radio, every modern protection. A crew of almost 200. It would take a welding torch to get into the specie room. Don't lose your head, man. Just because we pick up a few bars of gold from the Orient at San Francisco and run it south for the Mexican government, we've done it before. Go and get yourself a hooker of rum and turn in. That'll..."
The master saw the purser's face go white in the dim light, his eyes bulge, his whole body tremble. His lips seek vainly to form words.
"What is it?" he began.
Like an automaton, Lawson's arm shot up, pointed behind the captain at a shadowy figure, walking on cat's feet. Captain McWilliams pivoted, but only halfway. A silken cord dropped over his peaked cap, over his nose, tightened about his neck, choked him into silence. The purser started to look behind him. A second silken noose constricted around his throat. Before either officer could struggle, steel manacles lacerated their wrists as their arms were jerked behind them. A masked man stepped from the shadows, slapped strips of adhesive tape over their mouths. A sleek man, 6 feet tall, wearing a black fedora, which allowed his victims to see only his sharply etched black sideburns and the olive skin above the top line of his mask. Only the glowing black eyes in the eye holes. Below the edge of the mask, a dark business suit, cut to fit like a glove. Razor-point creases in his trousers and patent leather shoes.